We've been asking the question, what is the Spirit-filled life? And what does it mean for us as Christians to live the Spirit-filled lives? And we've spent several weeks looking at the conclusion of this section of Ephesians chapter 5. And if you have your Bibles open and you see how the text flows from 15 to verse 21... you'll see that all of this deals with that connection between wisdom and the Spirit-filled life. We see that we are to be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And we see that that is worship within the Spirit-filled life, how we live for reverence for Christ. And then we see that the Spirit-filled life is a life where the Spirit of God controls and governs you as a Christian. We've been given a new heart, and in that being given a new heart, we believe the gospel, and the Spirit of God indwells us, and from that indwelling, we begin to live our lives in such a way where the Spirit of God is pleased in our lives. So we talked about Spirit-filled worship, and then we talked about Spirit-filled gratitude. And then today we come to this third aspect of the Spirit-filled life, and we see Spirit-filled submission. Spirit-filled submission. I would call your attention again to verse 21 of Ephesians chapter 5. And there the Apostle Paul says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Now, some of you may have your Bibles open and you say, that's actually not what it says, Pastor Nathan. There is a textual variant, and some of you may have submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So fear and reverence, the same word. The only difference in the Greek text is God or Christ, but translated two separate ways. And we'll just briefly mention that, but if that's something that interests you more, we could talk about that later. But the Spirit-filled submission as part of the Christian life and part of what it means to live in wisdom as a Christian. We're going to begin this morning with looking at the practice of Spirit-filled submission. The practice of Spirit-filled submission. Paul says to the church, submitting to one another. And we see that as Paul talks about that. That's a command that is connected to verse 18, connected back to what it means to live a Spirit-filled life. And the Apostle Paul says, part of this in living the Christian life is we as the church are to be people that submit to one another. Now, what does that mean? Why is that something that Paul would call us to as a people? Now, we know the word submit is a word that has several meanings, but at the center of what it means to submit is that we are called to subject ourselves to one another, or we are to yield to one another. You know the word yield. So if you're driving and there's a lane that's ending, this is a never-ending discussion in our vehicle, and there's a lane that's ending and there's orange cones lined up and there's two cars coming, at some point somebody has to yield as those cars merge to form one lane. Right? So the car that yields is the one that submits. All right? We hear that and we think, you know, that's wrong. We don't want to do that. We want power. We want to be the one that is in charge. And yet the scriptures call us as Christians to be people that submit to one another. We are to yield to one another. Now, as the Spirit-filled life, as we yield to one another in the Spirit-filled life, that is going to be something where we find ourselves subjecting ourselves to one another. We take the low position. We submit to one another. We yield to one another. Now, some of you may be hearing that and you're thinking about that like good Americans. We think about submission, or we think about the highest good as whatever pleases me as an individual, or whatever pleases you, or whatever your desire is as an individual. We live in a place where the thoughts and the concerns and the cares of the individual are placed as the highest good. And you fight for those, and you do what you can to accomplish those. And here we come to the scriptures, and Paul says, submit to one another, yield to one another. There ought to be some sort of cultural clash that is occurring in your mind. Because what we hear in society for not submitting to one another and fighting just for what we want and seeking to do what I want as an individual, that is primary. And the idea of submission or yielding or taking the low place, that's something that we would push aside in society. We hear things like, if it makes you happy, then do it. Or an all-time favorite of mine, as long as it's not hurting anyone else. Or we hear, often we'll hear, I need to put myself first. Or I need to care for my own happiness before I care for other people's happiness. I know you've heard all of these lines before. These are very common thoughts within our society. And yet here the Apostle Paul says, submit to one another. And it's so counter-cultural. So what does a Spirit-filled church look like? Well, one major part of what Paul would have us put forward is that a Spirit-filled church is a place where the people of God are submitting to one another and yielding to one another and subjecting themselves and their own desires and putting the desires of others before themselves. We are called to subject ourselves because we have been redeemed, because we have had the Spirit of God fill us. So essentially, if you ask the question, well, Pastor Nathan, that, you know, theoretically that sounds interesting, but what does that actually mean? How do I actually apply that or live that out in my life? And what I would say to you is, essentially, we are called to a life of service. As Christians, we are called to a life where we serve one another as part of the body of Christ. It's putting another before yourself and the needs of another before yourself. And even putting the needs of others before yourself that you may show that you live out this Spirit-filled life. This is to be our practice in the church of Christ. Now, I often will tell people that the church is a place where we're called to serve one another. The church is not a consumer product that is being offered by the elders of the church. Like, the elders of the church aren't meeting in session and say, what's the best product that we can put forward that more consumers would come and buy that product? That is not who we are as part of the church of Jesus Christ. The whole body in the church is to be properly functioning in order for the body to be healthy. So you think about that. If your mentality and, you know, if what you're thinking is, I'm here and the elders serve and the deacons serve and I consume. Okay, hear this. According to Paul, you're part of the problem. in the church. And again, I don't say that to be mean. I love you all. I say that because that's what the scriptures say. We are called to be the body of Christ, and those analogies are found throughout the New Testament. The New Testament says that we are a body, and if one part of that body is suffering, then the whole body suffers. Have you ever had a toothache and know that you need a root canal? Okay, some of you are knowing that experience or have known that experience. Now, is the reason that you know that you need a root canal because there's some little local nerve ending just right at that tooth reminding you that you should go to the dentist? No, it's your whole body aches. You feel that little tiny problem. Like, I don't know what the nerve ending in a tooth looks like, but I imagine it's very small. It's probably like an eyelash or a piece of saffron or something like that. Something really small, and it affects your whole person in pain. Another way to look at it, what if your brain said to the rest of the body that it only wants to be served and it never serves? What if the brain refused service to the heart or refused service to through the blood? There's negative consequences of that in the human body. You see, all parts must be functioning and serving and be in subjection to the other parts. And friends, when a church is properly functioning, each member of the church and each person connected to that body of Christ is serving the rest of the body using the gifts that God has given them. Now, we can ask questions that the New Testament asks. Are all called to be teachers? Are all called to lead? Are all called with gifts of administration? Are all called to serve in these ways? And the answer is no. You know, not everyone can come up and say, now it's my turn to give the sermon that I worked on this week. Imagine how long we'd be here. You're here a long time anyways, right? And yet, God calls us all to use the gifts that He's given to us to serve one another. It's who we are called to be in the church of Christ. And this means that we need to think through this. You need to think through how your actions and choices in this life affect the rest of the people in the church. You need to think about what your gifts are and how you can serve, but you also need to consider how the way that you live affects the rest of the church. That there's choices that we make that have consequences in the life of a congregation, or because we're Presbyterian, in the life of our presbytery, or the life of the denomination, the RPCNA, or even in the life of being a part of the body of Christ. We're called to submit to one another. Your choices affect the well-being of the church. We're called to not be individualistic. We're called to think of others outside of ourselves. We're called to ask, how can I serve the body of Christ? You're called to submit to one another and to use time and to use gifts and to use resources to serve one another that God may be glorified. Your talents used for those around you. Your home used for those around you. Your gifts, your resources. You know, think about something that needs to be told to young children or sometimes teenagers. Often is it's not about you. Like, life is not about you. That you don't look around the world and the world is rotating around you, or we get in this mindset that if we do something or say something that everyone around us noticed. You know, not everyone's paying attention. Not everything is about you. And when we understand that, and we understand that connection that the Apostle Paul is making, that we have been saved, that we have been justified, that we've been adopted, and from that we live out the Christian life, and part of that is living a life of wisdom, and that's seen in being Spirit-filled in our Christian life, and as we live that out, our eyes of faith turn from self towards others, that we may serve the body to bring glory to God. And that's something that's not just found here in Ephesians. Romans 12 says, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. We love with brotherly affection, and we're called to outdo one another in showing honor. You know, after you. No, after you. The way that Paul would call us here to do. We put others first. We see others as more important than ourselves. Imagine what kind of church that would be. A place where we do put others first. A place where we are in submission to the Word of God, and out of love for God and love for Christ, we are serving one another. You know, I've often mentioned that sort of my dream for a Reformed church, a church like ours, is that we would have a place that is very heavy doctrinally. You know, and Reformed people are like, yeah, let's do that. Like, we're good at that already. We know that stuff. And a place also where the body of Christ is served. A place where people would come in and they would say, these people know what they believe and they live out their Christian life. Can you imagine what a place like that would be? We subject ourselves to one another in service, in humble service. But why do we do that? Why should you come here and hear a sermon like that? Is that just to motivate you, or is it to bring you guilt and manipulate you that you would just serve the church so that, you know, I don't have to do as much, or so that the deacons don't have to do as much? Like, what is behind that? Well, the Apostle Paul says that the great motivator for serving the church, and that great motivator for submitting to one another, is out of the fear of God, or out of reverence for Christ. And that's our second heading, the principle of Spirit-filled submission. The principle of Spirit-filled submission. We can just ask that question, why should I submit? Why should I subject myself to the proverbial these people? Paul says, we fear the Lord. We fear God. Why do you live lives that are concerned for the lives of others around you? Why do you care that this person is served or that person is served? Why do we subject ourselves instead of elevating ourselves? You know, fellowship meal starts and you push your way to the front of the line. Well, why do you do that? It's so that you can get the best. No, Paul says, you serve, you find your way to the end of the line. You serve one another. And why do you do that? Out of fear of God. What is that that is going to make you great as a Christian? Or what is that that is going to make you matter most as a Christian? Or what is going to add to the most personal happiness that you can have. It is living with the fear of the Lord. What is that which makes the Christian different, or ought to be different, from a self-serving world that's constantly seeking to serve self? And whenever they're seeking to serve others, it is for self-promotion. I'm sure many of you have seen videos on YouTube or on Facebook or something where somebody comes up and they feed the homeless person and they've got the camera right in their face so that they can put it on their social media. Look, I did good. Look, I cared for that person. Friends, it is self-serving. And Paul says, we serve one another, we submit to one another out of fear of God. What makes the Christian different than those serving self around us? It is simply that we are a spirit-filled, submissive people, or we're called to be a spirit-filled, submissive people because we fear God. And I want to again acknowledge that there's a small textual variant. It's one word in the Greek, God or Christ, and you may have differences there, and I may have a preference for one, and someone else in the congregation may have a preference for another. You can bring us together in the same room, and we can hash that out. But I think that you understand that this is not something that is doctrinal, fear of God or fear of Christ. This principle is a principle where our practice of spirit-filled submission says that we have a worldview that puts God first. And as people, we are to bow before the Lord. We're to reverence the Lord. We are to find ourselves submitting to God and bowing down before Him and even trembling before His majesty and saying, I have a heart of service before you. And if we do that, if we have that heart of service before the Lord, what is He going to say? He's going to say, have spirit-filled worship, which we've seen. And He's going to say, serve my body. Isn't He? We have a worldview that puts God first. He is the Creator, and as the creature, we owe Him reverence. We owe Him fear. That's the same word. Reverence and fear are the same word. And you see that big worldview difference. We are to do all things with Him in mind, and we're to think, how would God have us to love, and how would God have us to serve, and how would God have us to think? And we're drawn back to the Scriptures, and we're drawn back to the body of Christ, that people that He's gathering unto Himself. And we see that is our worldview. Maybe you read magazines, or you read blogs, or you listen to motivational speakers, and everyone's telling you, here's how to be happy, here's how to be happy, here's how to be happy. And if you boil down what the world is saying about how you can be happy, the answer is to serve yourself. And the Apostle Paul says, fear God. And the effects of that will be serving others, serving the church. You see, by nature, we are a selfish people, and we fight against anything that says that others come before self. And if this is a concern that that you're having. You know, maybe you think, well, you know, Pastor Nathan, we've heard so much in the past year about the climate of abuse within churches and power struggles and how leadership in the church calls on people to submit and they abuse that power. If that's in your head, I hear you. I hear you. But I want you to understand that because that truth is abused does not mean that truth is no longer true. We do need to be careful. We do need to be on guard. We do need to look for those that would manipulate these things to serve self. But that does not negate the fact that the Scriptures call us to fear God and to submit to one another out of reverence for God. When you reverence God rightly, you come before Him for who He is. And as Job's told us, and as the Proverbs tell us, and as we find throughout so much of the Scriptures, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We see that in Ephesians 5. Paul's told us that. Remember, he said, be wise in this, and be unwise in this, and then put on and put off. And he's walked us through that. And now he's pushing forth the idea of the fear of the Lord because he's bringing us back to wisdom and to the Spirit-filled life. He's making that connection for us. And the fear of the Lord, especially for our young people, for our children, to fear the Lord, it doesn't mean that we're only to be scared of Him. It doesn't mean that you know, when your parents turn off the light at night, that you're filled with fear because God is there. We reverence God. We humbly submit to God. We have a desire to do His will. We desire to glorify Him. We desire to enjoy Him. And this is done in our worship, and hopefully our worship is reverent. Hopefully something of the fear of the Lord is known when you're here worshiping God. And we do this in our gratitude. We live lives of thanksgiving, and that ought to be seen in our lives. And we live lives of submission to one another. And why does the church get such a high position that flows from the fear of God? Like, if you think about that connection, God says, fear me, and demonstrate that by submitting to one another in the church. Like, you might have trouble making that connection in your mind. Why is God saying, fear me, and show that by submitting to one another? I want you to understand that God makes that connection because the church of Jesus Christ is the one thing that He loves above all else in the whole world. Like, if you could come to Christ and you could say, what's the one thing that you love of all the creation, He would say, I love my bride. I love the church. And our principle says we love God, and because we love God, we submit to Him. And if we love God, then we're called to love that which God loves. And if we fear God, we ought to love that which He loves above all things. And if we ask, what is that one thing? The answer is the church. And God says, you're a part of it. Submit to one another because you fear the Lord. You know, not out of guilt, not because you're being manipulated, not because you're hoping to satisfy God, not because you're earning brownie points or trying to accumulate gold stars. Because you fear God. Because He is first. Nothing is loved in the whole universe. Nothing is loved in all of the creation as much as the church. God doesn't love the angels as much as He loves the church. He doesn't love the ocean as much as He loves the church. He doesn't love the stars as much as He loves the church. The church is put first. And when we submit to the Lord, God says, now organize your thoughts, organize your life in the way that I would have you to put these things. And the church begins to move up as to what is important to us. We love what God loves. Christ has given you a new heart. He's finishing that work. God has begun the process where you increase in the fear of the Lord. You increase in reverence. And as you increase in reverence of God, you begin to be more submissive to God, to His Word. The Spirit of God makes you willing and able to do this work of serving others, submitting to each other. Again, it's not natural. It's 100% not natural to submit to anyone other than self. And yet that's what God calls us to do. And friends, we have an opportunity here to show the world that a Reformed church that is 102 years old, that's still yet to celebrate its centennial, is not just a dusty old place where theology is taught from the 17th century and believed, but a place where people are able to see the fear of God on display even as we serve one another, even as we put others first. Friends, if you've come to find yourself being one who is forgiven of God for your sins, you're reminded that Christ says that He would be a Savior for all sinners who come. And we come with our sin and we say, there's nothing that I can do in and of myself. And we come empty-handed and we say, now what, O Lord? He justifies and He redeems, and we can just walk right through the book of Ephesians again. And He does all of these things and He brings us to this place of submission where He says, serve the church. Submit to one another. And then that transition's going to happen next week, where when we hear wives submit to your own husbands, it's not with fists in the air, but it's with hearts directed towards Christ. Friends, if you have come, will you live your life in service to Him, submitting to His people and putting them first in the fear of God, that the bride of Christ may function properly in wisdom and humility in a dying world that is looking on? Submit to one another in the fear of God. Amen. Father, we thank You for the truth of Your Word. We thank You for the beauty of Your Word and how we are called even to submit to one another. Teach us to take that lowly place, that place where our hearts are not lifted up and we are humbled. And we look to those to our left and to our right, and we practice putting them before ourselves and saying, what is your need, brother? What is your need, sister? How can I serve you? Because I fear the Lord. Amen.